Who can say amen to the words of this song? Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And it wasn't a once and done washing. But He's faithful. And He washes us when we fail again. When we get up and try again. He does a work in us. I appreciated that devotional meditation. And I just want to highlight, I think our brother brought it out, but I just want to highlight. It's not I possibly will, or I might may give you a soft heart. But think about it sometime. Read that again. I will. It's a promise. And let's live in light of that. I greet you in Jesus' name. I'm happy to be here. I have pondered many different directions to take a message for this evening, but you can turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We are here this evening to observe. Caden is here to take part in an ordinance. Now, we went through our instruction booklet with Brother Caden, and we looked at the ordinances. There's many that we have that we observe, and baptism is one of them. There is baptism, there's communion, there's feet washing, there's a holy kiss, there's anointing with oil, there's a headship veiling, and there's marriage. And I understand that some people were at a marriage today, and they would observe that today. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we have planned to observe two others of the ordinances. That is communion and feet washing, if the Lord tarries. But this evening we have baptism. And what is an ordinance? And we brought it up in our instruction class, but for the rest of us, to realize what an ordinance is and to rivet it in our minds again, it's such an elementary thing, but it's something that is foundational. Now, if you just look up ordinance, it is an established rite or ceremony. But I'd like to take it to the Christian ordinance. And when you come to the look up Christian ordinance, it's a religious ceremony with a heavenward meaning. So there you have it. That's what we are about to observe here this evening. It is a baptism. And so as I pondered what to share, my mind went to Acts chapter 2. If we read the first part of Acts chapter 2, we have where there is the Holy Ghost is poured out on the disciples there. And there, the Holy Ghost is poured out on those that are gathered together there. And then we come to verse 14 of chapter 2, and we have Peter. He stands up and he addresses the people there. He says this. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." And he goes on with this message that he has for them. And it was a powerful message. It was one that they could understand, one that they could relate to, and that one that filled their needs. And my message is not from that part of it, but I'd like to think about it. This is directly following Peter's sermon that he preached. In verse 37 is where we want to go down to. And we'd like to read from verse 37 on to the end of the chapter. When they heard this, this is Peter's sermon. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. As I pondered this passage here and the message here this evening, there is three main points. Well, we could maybe say it's 4 points I have here this evening. I tacked another one on there at the end and kind of as a conclusion to the message. But there's three main points I'd like to look at in this message here this evening. The first one I have is choice. That's the first point of my message. I don't want to share what Caden doesn't feel comfortable with. But I couldn't help but ponder in verse 37 here. It was over COVID time. There's a young man that came. He was concerned about what if the Lord came back? What if he wasn't right? Young man was Caden. And I was thankful for that. But you know, Caden faced a choice. The same as each and every one of us face in life. When we come to the age of accountability, we face a choice. What we're going to do with our life. Who are we going to serve? We become accountable for our actions. We become accountable for what we do with our life. And to do nothing, we make a choice. We make a choice. These brethren here in verse 37, they heard this message. They realized that there was something in their life that needed to happen, and they were faced with a choice. And they asked Peter, "What must we do? Where do we go from here? There is a choice that needs made." And Peter went on in that, and he expounded to them, and he just broke it out to them so they could understand. Same is true for us. We too must go and go to truth and realize where we need to go in this choice. Realize the effects that the choice has on us. And I believe that as they pondered what Peter shared in those verses prior, they understood that there was a need. They understood that there's an end coming, and there's things were changing from the Old Testament. Well, a choice says that you say one of two things. It's either yes or no. It's either yes or no. Sometimes we like to just say, well, does it really matter? Is it a maybe? Is there such a thing as a maybe? We like to try to walk maybe a middle ground. Caden, I would say, from what I see in your life, I see a young man that is desiring to go the whole way and not walk a middle ground, because you can't do it. As God's talking to the churches there in Revelation, he says about the lukewarm, it's those ones that are trying to walk a middle ground. And he says he's going to spew them out of his mouth. He wants somebody that's on fire for him. And so, we're glad you made that initial choice, Caden. And for each and every one of us, I'm glad we made that choice. But it doesn't stop there. The choice don't stop with a one time. It don't stop with that day in the middle of COVID. It doesn't stop with this evening, unless if the Lord comes back. But the choice don't stop there. It's a continual choice through life. For each and every one of us, it's a continual choice. Who are you going to serve? Where are you going to go? There's two ways in life. two destinies, heaven or hell. And so we must make that choice in life, who we're going to serve and where we're going to end up. We can serve self and live for self, or we can serve God. The destinies are settled for our choices. I'd like to go into the second point in the message. And so as we ponder the choice, and we need to make a choice, and we come to verse 38 here, and Peter says to them, repent and be baptized. There's your answer. And the second point I have is under cleansing. I've titled that cleansing, of choice and cleansing. Repent. Express sincere regret and remorse for one's wrongdoing or sin. Express it. Let it out in the open. Make a public statement about it. Confess it. Get rid of it. And that faithful verse in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see the cleansing that happens? He forgives our sins. He moves them away from us. Washes them clean. Well, as we are faced with a choice, we come to face with a holy God, and we realize that our choices are going to affect our outcome, and we realize our sinfulness. We recognize our filthiness with apart from God. Not outward filthiness, inwardly. What's inside of us. And so we make that choice to either come to God for cleansing or to live in sin and be bogged down with the filth of this world. But this internal cleansing, repent, cleanse yourself internally. Your conscience can be clean and cleansed. Think about our conscience just a little bit underneath this cleansing point. This internal cleansing of our conscience. 1 Peter 3:21, you don't have to turn to that. It says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, not the outward part, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to read that in the Amplified. I put in my notes here so you can understand it better. Or at least it didn't help me understand this verse better. And baptism, which is a figure of their deliverance, which is our deliverance, does now also save you from inward questions and fears. Okay, you catch that in the first part of that verse? Baptism does save us from inward questions and fears. How does it do that? Not by the removing of the outward body filth. You know, tonight, Caden, as we pour water on, it's not cleansing you on. It's not for the cleansing of your hair. It's not for that. It's talking about something. It's not talking about the bathing part. But by providing you with the answer of a good and clear conscience. It's talking about inward cleanliness and peace before God. And it goes on to say, because you are demonstrating that you believe, you are demonstrating what you believe to be yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you're cleansed, who does the cleansing for you? It's Jesus and His blood. That's where the cleansing comes. And so, tonight, as we look at baptism, we are so thankful that we can have this inner cleansing. Our hearts and our conscience washed clean. That we can stand before God in this way this evening. And it brings me to my next point in my message here. And that is commitment. Commitment. I pondered this point much in the last week as I pondered or prepared for this message. I I pondered it with the word I had seen in Ithaca that I had mentioned last night, the semi-honest word. How we can somehow feel like we're just a little bit's okay. A little bit of sin, a little bit of not total truth. But tonight we're talking about commitment. And we're talking about a high level of commitment. One where we're true to ourselves and what we are. It's not something that we're just, yeah, we'll say it on the outside. Yeah, we want to be a member of the church, but what does that mean? We're talking about a commitment that is heard this evening, that is recorded in heaven. It's a commitment of something that has happened in the recent past with you, Caden. And we just, I'm just amazed how God saw the need for us to have this ordinance, this outward working of what has happened in our heart. So we can realize and we can have other people see our commitment and the commitment we make to God. Aren't you thankful for God and His commitment and His stability for us, and He never changes, and His promises for salvation are always there? I am. It doesn't move. His promises don't move. But a commitment is what's going to hold you through from here on. Or from that day on, when you gave your heart to the Lord. It's commitment. How dedicated am I? How dedicated are you, Caden? How dedicated are you, anyone else in this congregation, to serving God? How committed are you? Here's a test. How easily we let something or someone come first in our life is a test of our commitment. Who comes first in my life? Is it the cell phone? Is it my family? Is it... You put the list there. I'm not saying they're all wrong. But who comes first? Who takes first place? Our decrees say this: baptism is an outward testimony of an inner new birth experience and shall be administered upon confession of faith. And so we have the commitment, and as baptism is given, it tells of what was inside and the commitment you have to serve God and how you're going to work it out. And you make that commitment this evening, Caden, before all of us. Those questions that Brother Joe is going to ask you is commitments that we as members here, and Brother Joe in particular, are going to hear. But God hears them as well. He hears your testimony of where you want to, who you want to serve first in your life. And He records it. Turn with me in your Bibles to back a couple chapters here in Acts. I'd like to just go back to Acts chapter 8. And we have the new churches there, and they are pulling together. I have a commitment here that is recorded in verse 37. And it'd be good for us to read this whole passage here, but we're not going to take the time to do that. But in verse 37 of chapter 8, it says, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And they said, this is the account of that eunuch that he had met on the road there. And he expounded to them in the scriptures, and he wondered, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That's a commitment. I believe. Now, Satan likes to test that belief. He likes to plant something else there. But tonight, Caden, and for each and every one of us, can we say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God"? It needs to start there. And when we believe it, we realize that He has the power to forgive our sins, and our commitment is strong. Turn with me back to Acts chapter 2 again. And I meant to tell you to keep your finger in that part of the scripture here. But Acts chapter 2, back a couple of verses, chapters again. Verse 38. We read that verse. I'm going to read it again. Then Peter saith unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This commitment brings with us something. We have to repent, be baptized. It calls for that. But there's something else I want to pull out of here, out of this verse. And we want to leave that part, those first two, the repent and be baptized, and just come down to the bottom of that verse. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I wasn't sure where to put this point in here. Maybe I should have made a whole new point for it. But I want you to think with me this evening about the Holy Ghost. I remember when I was baptized, I wondered sometimes, do I have the Spirit of God in me? Don't let the devil trip you up with that. Your commitment this evening, your dedication to service for God and the commitment you make this evening assures that the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is in you. If you are living for God, if you're giving everything to Him, you can rest assured that the gift of the Holy Spirit is in your life. But notice it says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, bear with me. Somebody maybe has a little different view of this than what I do. And I want to be corrected. I want to understand. But as I pondered this point, I said to myself, does that mean that Caden, when he prayed the sinner's prayer, did not have the Holy Spirit helping him? Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. I'd like to just tell you what a verse that I believe says that we can have the Holy Ghost and He works with us and we can give our heart to the Lord and His Spirit is within us. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Again, we're breaking in the middle of it and I apologize for that. However, I don't think we're going to take the time to read all this. To Him give all the prophets witness, that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. And they're talking to the Gentiles there. And he's preaching to them there. In verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, they weren't baptized yet. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. They were converted. They were changed. They had changed their focus. They were committed to serving the Lord. And they of the circumcision which we believe were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because now in the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? That these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. We have the gift of the Holy Ghost. But I believe this evening, Caden, this gift that it's talking about in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is an extra special gift that you'll receive this evening. Because it's a finalizing of your commitment to serve God. You make a public commitment to that. We could go back to Acts chapter 4. Let's go to Acts chapter 42 again, or Acts chapter 2 again, and read verse 42 again. We have another commitment that I'd like to look at. And in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Continued. It's not a once and done, once saved, always saved. It's not I got baptized this evening, now I'm good to go, I have assurance of heaven. We can fall away. We need to be aware of that. But we do not need to let it scare us. We don't need to let it unsettle us. I see in this verse here, the apostles were teaching them. The apostles were striving to help these new Christians. And they were learning, and they strived to continue steadfast. This evening, God understands which direction you're trying to go. He understands your commitment. He understands whether your choice is still yes to serve Him, or your choice is I don't care so much about it. He understands that. Let's be this evening, let's make a commitment to strive to learn to walk with God more each day. They continued steadfastly. They worked towards it. They kept steadfastly striving to get closer to God. Continue. Let's be committed to continue serving God. There's one more that I put in. One more point. I breezed over it first when I read this passage, and as I pondered this more, there's one blessing we have in this account that I almost missed in my points. And I don't say that the Lord maybe wants it there. I believe He does. But I want to pull it out, because it's such a blessing. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. Okay, they had this big baptismal service. There's 3,000 of them that were added to that church. They that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. In verse 47. Well, verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were glad that they had committed their hearts to the Lord. They're glad they're walking with Him, and they're praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This evening, Caden, there is, and the last point I have is acceptance. The other three were C, but I didn't come up with a C for this. But I'd like to think about acceptance here this evening. There was added to the church daily. And there was 3,000, and there's more keep coming, and they're continuing daily and just helping one another, breaking bread and giving, and they have such a fellowship. Some people say sometimes that we are our own culture in the church. I don't apologize for that. I believe these people that were converted had made their culture, and they were such... I don't believe just anybody was giving. I don't believe everybody was in the surrounding. Those that didn't believe were following all this. But no, there was a church fellowship that was established, and there was acceptance there. They built one another up, and they exhorted one another, and tonight, Caden, when you give your commitment to God and you're baptized, you too are baptized into the church. And there is a special part for that. There's acceptance there. Turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians 4. I'm just going to read verse 16. There's a lot that builds up to this verse, and talks about the different gifts in the church and how he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and everybody working together. And we come to verse 16, and it's talking about the church, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There is acceptance in there. There is a point where you have, Caden, in coming into a church fellowship, you have so much to go off of. You have so many caring people to go ask advice from. You have so many people that want to see you prosper in life and to see you grow in your spiritual life and to see you grow more like Christ. Use it. But he also has a place for you. Because you see, it doesn't mean that we just take from the body. We give to the body. But when there's giving and taking, there's acceptance. Put the name there. I need you. You need me. Can we say that about our brothers and sisters in the church? We need each other. God placed you there for a purpose. Placed your brothers and sisters there for a purpose. Well, we're thankful that the acceptance happens here on this life here in the church. But you know, in Revelation, it talks about God coming back for his church, the bride of Christ. We can realize that if we are part, or we recognize that if we are part of God's body here, and we are serving him and his church at large, if we're faithful to God, and we're a pillar and a building block where he has placed us, we can be accepted into heaven. Aren't we looking forward to that? Isn't that what brought you here tonight, Caden? The fact that it's one more step to finalize my commitment to God, and I'll serve him forever. I'd like to also read the Great Commission in closing, Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and I'm going to read verse 18 through 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. For every one of us that has named the name of Christ, every one of us that has given our hearts to the Lord, and come into this and have come to this place of baptism, we made a promise to God that we're going to serve him faithfully. We can't ignore this Great Commission. It calls to baptize. We're going to do that this evening, an outward sign of what's inside, what has happened in our heart. And so not all of us do the baptism. But tonight, each one of you are taking part in this baptism. The question to us is, have we done the other part? Can we do more of going, teaching, bringing people in, making the change in their heart? I trust that's our goal and that's what we want to do. But God has a work for each and every one of us. Let's be faithful and do it. May God bless.